I'll be reading from 1 Peter 1:22-23, and this is going to be in the New King James Version. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass withers, and its flower falls away.
Good morning. It's great to be here, and we want to welcome you to our services this morning. I wanted to mention that tonight we're going to be, Lord willing, talking a little bit about what we might call the historicity of Jesus Christ. I might explain that just a bit. Some people will have the notion or convey the idea to others that Christ, how do we know if he was an historical figure in the annals of human history, or maybe that he was just a myth that someone made up in order to get us to behave or whatever. So we're going to talk a little bit about that from an historical background and also from a biblical background as well. And then Wednesday night we're having a Devo over at the Outreach Center, go through the fellowship hall area into the area beyond the double doors. And into that area, I think we have better acoustics right now anyway, and we'll be able to get some chairs in there and prepare to worship God for a devotional this Wednesday night. I'm looking forward to that. I hope that you'll be here for that. We've been recently in a Sunday morning series been looking at what we call the Christian graces, and really we've been looking at these each one step at a time as sort of the steps that help us to build and develop our character. The kind of character that would be embodied in the idea of becoming partakers of the divine nature, that is being like God or being like Christ in some fashion. And also, as we read on in the chapter, enabling us to have the entrance into God's eternal kingdom abundantly supplied to us. We've looked at the idea of diligently adding to our faith virtue, that is, moral excellence, as some translate it, and to our virtue then we add knowledge, and then to our knowledge we added self-control, and then perseverance, and last week we talked about godliness. Now, to our godliness, we want to add brotherly kindness, and that'll be the subject of this morning's lesson, brotherly kindness. Guy Orbison made a comment connecting the previous virtue of godliness with that of brotherly kindness. He said, out of the vertical upward movement toward God expressed by godliness, there grows a horizontal movement toward one another, brotherly kindness. And so we'll be looking at this characteristic this morning under the three questions, what is it? In that component of our lesson, we normally talk about some of the background ideas and to fully understand the meaning of the term. And then we'll be talking about why is it important. This is the motivation that we need to implement it into our lives. And then finally, we'll be looking at what does it look like? And this is the idea of seeing it in action and seeing that it can, in fact, be part of our lives. So to begin with, let's just talk about what is brotherly kindness. Begin by taking a look, if you would, at the word from which it is translated. It is a familiar sounding word. It's a compound word from philos, meaning love, and adelphos, meaning brother. And so what you get out of that idea actually is the idea of brotherly love. Philadelphia. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? You put a capital letter on the front of it, and sounds like you're somewhere in Pennsylvania. But the Philadelphia is, as their motto, the city of brotherly love. And that's actually the word that we're talking about this morning. So you can go home thinking, well, I know a little Greek. You know, I know Philadelphia. That's a word. It means brotherly kindness, or perhaps even better translated, brotherly love, as it were. Now consider a few definitions of this word Philadelphia to kind of help us focus in on its meaning. The first is that this is a word that sandwiches a warm, emotional love together with brotherhood. Those elements go together. Another translation, another source says that Philadelphia is the proper goodwill and help and affection shown to brethren in Christ. A third definition, a little bit longer. Well, this guy here is, it is the attitude of special concern that Christians are to foster for one another. Because we're children of God, we're brothers and sisters of one another. And again, the focus is on the love between fellow believers, on the family-like devotion that should characterize the Christian community. And then finally, it is a commitment of personal relationships of concern for and time with fellow believers. It is the Christian's practical, positive behavior toward others in the body of Christ, the household of the faith. As you look at those definitions, you say, okay, now what is brotherly love? Some of these words come to the forefront. Warm, it is emotional, it is personal, it is affectionate, it is characterized by concern and commitment. And all of this within the family of God, because it is brotherly. It is brotherly in that respect. You know, before Christians in the first century sort of adopted that word from the pagan culture and applied it to their own special circumstances. But prior to that point in time, the word brotherly kindness, Philadelphia, was used exclusively of the physical family. Brotherly kindness for your brother, for your sister, for your mother, for your father in the home. Early Christian writers report that those out in the world, the pagans, noticed this characteristic of Christians and despised them for treating each other like family. That was a source of contention in the world around them. The word Philadelphia, by the way, is also translated to kiss. That's kind of surprising. But it actually is. Three times in reference to Judas's kiss betraying Christ into the hand of his enemies. And four times in other places it is described as the greeting that Christians had toward each other, associated with like the holy kiss or the kiss of love. And the interesting thing about that is that this was an indication of a family relationship. Because in the pagan world, that was only practiced in the immediate family. And now you had Christians, a part of a spiritual family, treating each other and even greeting each other in the same manner as you would a normal family at the time. So there's something about the meaning of the word. In addition to looking at the idea of the composition of the word, the first part of that word, phileo, is interesting because it is the word, one of the two primary words for love in the Bible. And I say this because I know you're familiar with the word agape, or agapao, the verb, and then you have the word phileo. This is the other word, phileo and agape. They both go together. Those are the two words for love in the original language. It's important to notice that while there are some distinctions, there's also a lot of overlapping between the two words. And so you can't just say, well, here's phileo and here's agape. They do overlap one another, but sometimes there are some distinctions. I just wanted to mention this in passing, that sometimes phileo is distinct from agape in the sense that it involves emotions more than agape does. Thayer, in his dictionary, says that an emotion cannot be commanded, but that a choice can be. And so agape is commanded, where phileo is, on the other hand, a feeling or emotion that comes along with it. Phileo, according to another source, is more of a personal word and especially used of friends. And the idea here of being reciprocal, I love you, you love me, we love each other, back and forth. The Greeks always seem to have in their minds the idea of phileo being to like intensely and to have a lot of emotion connected to that, and that love is more of the choice that's made. And so you have the like and the love being slightly different, but phileo and agape are even closer than those two words, actually. And then, of course, you are familiar with the classic example of the difference between the two as we move along is in John chapter 20. Peter had denied the Lord three times. Peter was now going to profess his love for the Lord, his affection for the Lord, three times. But in this context, both words are used back and forth. Jesus is asking Simon Peter, he's saying, Peter, do you love me? And he uses the word agapao. And Peter says, yes, Lord, I love you. He uses the word phileo. So they're not using the same word. And then Jesus does the same thing, and Peter repeats the same word, until finally Jesus uses the word phileo. Peter, do you love me? In the sense of phileo, personal affection. And Peter uses the same word, yes, I love you, in that way. And you say, well, they're just all, the words are very interchangeable sometimes, and maybe he just flipping back for the sake of variety. But the Bible also says that John was grieved that he said it this way the final time. So there is some distinction between the two words, and sometimes it's important to get the keep the distinction in mind, especially when both words are used in the same context. Now, moving along, I want to go on to the next point because I think it's important. Why is brotherly kindness important? Brotherly kindness is important because it demonstrates the fact that we have been born again into the same family. The passage we read a few moments ago in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23 says, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed that is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and abiding Word of God. You look at that more closely and say, well, in obeying the truth, we are born again through the Word of God. That's the same thing Peter said in James said in James 1, verse 18. The Word of God is a seed. Seed contains the germ of life, right? And so in obeying the truth, they are born again through the Word of God, which is a seed planted in the human heart that gives forth life. And so they are born again as a result of that message of life. Our souls are purified for a sincere love of the brethren. That's Philadelphia. In obeying the truth, our souls are purified for a sincere love of the brethren. It's not a pretense. We're born again to sincerely love one another in the family of God. We're part of that family, as Lanny Wolf said in that song we sometimes like to sing. We're part of a family that's been born again. And the family nature of the church is emphasized by the practice of brotherly kindness. Treating your sister in Christ like a sister. Treating your brother like a brother. Your father, your older brother in Christ, sometimes like a parent. It's that family connection that is emphasized by that expression. But you need to know this, that when it comes to brotherly love, it's not something that just continues by accident without on purpose trying to develop it and stimulate it and cultivate it. Hebrews 13 verse 1 says, let love of the brethren continue. Let Philadelphia continue. That's what he's saying in that passage. Romans 12, verse 10 talks about be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Philadelphia, as you practice brotherly love, you need devotion toward that in order for that to continue to exist as it needs to continue to exist. And the reason for that is because things get in the way. Our own personal desires, our own selfishness, our own thoughts and deeds can get in the way of the continuing practice of brotherly kindness. And so he says, love one another. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. So in the first place then, brotherly love is and kindness is important because of its connection to our being born again into the same family. The second thing we had in mind here is that it's linked to the higher form of love, which is agape. One includes the other, or one leads to the other. There's some connection between those two thoughts. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, let's go back and look at that a little more closely. What you'll find is that the first part of that verse is connected to the second part of the verse. And the second part of the verse includes a command that is enjoined upon the readers. He says, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren. He's not yet gotten to a command. He's just stating what's happened. Since then, in obedience to the truth, you have purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren. Now listen, he's getting to the command part now. He says, fervently love one another from the heart. Since you have been born again to sincerely to practice brotherly love, then he says, now here's a command, fervently love, that's agapao, one another from the heart. The Philadelphia seems to lead to the agapao, or the higher form of love that is commanded throughout the scripture. It's hard to believe that they would be saying the same thing twice using different words there. But another example you might look at is 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9, where here Paul says to the brethren at Thessalonica, he says, now as to the love of the brethren, that's Philadelphia, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. That's the word agape. I don't need to tell you about love of the brethren because you've already been taught by God to agape one another. It's as though saying, it just comes without saying that if you're practicing agape love and you're loving one another, you'll also show brotherly affection and love toward those in the same spiritual family. The one is connected to the other. In fact, leads to the other. If you remember in our text that we're studying, actually, in 2 Peter 1, verse 7, add to your godliness brotherly kindness, and then to your brotherly kindness, love. They're distinguished between each other. And it seems as though, at least in my way of thinking, that we're kind of climbing a ladder here of sorts, and the climactic point being love. And so when you have brotherly kindness and then love, it kind of indicates that there's just a little step up from one to the other. So you're practicing brotherly kindness, and then a more expansive term, a decision to love God and to love your fellow man and to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. So maybe the third point we should make is this. Why is brotherly love important? It shows a connection to agape love. It also shows that we're members of the family of God. And then thirdly, we cannot really love others without brotherly kindness. The connection between these words is interesting. There are some connections, some things that make it seem like they're almost, they touch on each other, they overlap each other. In some cases, they're almost used interchangeably at times. But there are some passages that talk about agape love that cause pause and make us begin to think. In 1 John chapter number 5, or chapter number 4 and verse 20, John says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. the point that John is making there, and he uses the word agape love here, not the brotherly kindness love, but he's saying that the evidence of our love for God is our love for our brother or sister in Christ. And if this includes the broader term agape, it certainly also includes brotherly kindness as well. But then you look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. He says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born to him. This explains agape love, but it also explains brotherly kindness. We're part of a family. If God is our Father, if Jesus Christ is our older brother, if we're brothers and sisters in the Lord, then obviously there is a compelling drive on our part to love one another in the family of God. I had 1 Corinthians 6 down 16:22, which says, if anyone does not love the Lord, he is anathema or accursed. The word here is phileo, affectionate, kindly affectionate, and have a personal relationship with him. So we talked about, okay, what is it, why it's important, and now I want to talk about this third point of why does brotherly love, what does it look like? And in every instance so far as we've looked through these Christian graces, every one it seems like I begin with talking about Jesus because he is the example for us in all of these virtues. Now, I haven't prepared the lesson for next week, and it's going to be about love. And I don't know, but I think it could be that Jesus might just be our example in love also, don't you think? So here he is, our example of brotherly kindness. And remember that brotherly love is family love. So in Matthew chapter 12, in the ministry of Jesus, his family had come to seek him, and they were outside waiting for him, and somebody said to Jesus, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. And Jesus answered the one who was telling him this and said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward the disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. What's Jesus saying here? He's saying we're part of a family. That this family we have, this spiritual family we have in Christ, is more important even than our physical family. It's a family into which we have been born a second time. Now, Jesus had personal relationships and demonstrated brotherly love in a special sense, in a personal, affectionate way toward people. For example, there, that passage in John 20, he's talking about John. And John, writing by inspiration, always referred to himself as just the disciple whom Jesus loved. And when he uses that word loved here, he's using the word phileo, the affectionate love, the brotherly love that we're trying to emphasize here. Jesus had close relationships with people like Mary and Martha and Lazarus. You remember in John chapter 11, Jesus and the disciples had crossed over the Jordan because they had been persecuted there in the Jerusalem area. And the message came, behold, the one whom you love is sick or near unto death. In fact, that word used there is the phileo, the warm personal relationship that he had with Lazarus. And he waited 4 days. The disciples couldn't understand that. But then he decided to go back. He knew Lazarus was dead. And there at the tomb of Lazarus, as he's preparing to raise him from the dead, the Bible says in verse 35 of John 11, Jesus wept. And the mourners, those Jews there who saw him wept, said, behold how he loved him. The word phileo, that tender, affectionate kind of love that we're emphasizing in the lesson this morning. You can see that in the life of Jesus. But there's more to love than just a warm, affectionate feeling. It also produces action on our part. And even in the definitions that we read, some of them mention this idea of help. Jesus provided that example in Matthew 11 and verses 28 through 30 as he gives the invitation. And he says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus expresses his love by being willing to help share the burden, the load that is being carried. And then you notice that Peter similarly makes this statement in 1 Peter 5, around verse number 7, when he says, cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. He cares. He has this love, this phileo, compassionate, warm affection toward each one of us. That's love seen in the life of Jesus. Where else should it be seen? Well, it should be seen in the life of God's people. We show brotherly love in many ways, and I'm sure you can go through the Bible and find dozens of different ways that we show love. But I start in the book of Romans just to notice a few statements here. Brotherly kindness is demonstrated, first of all, when we rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. If you go on to verse number 10, brotherly kindness is shown when we give preference to one another in honor. Who do we want to be with? Who do we want to share our favorite recipe with? Who do we want to spend time with? Well, it's our family, our spiritual family in Christ. And then in verse number 13 in that same chapter, we show brotherly kindness by practicing hospitality. That's kind of an interesting thought. It's maybe almost a thought that's kind of drifted away from us a little bit. But, you know, the Bible does talk about showing hospitality to strangers in Hebrews 13, verse 2. And that practicing hospitality comes right after he had said in verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Hospitality is a way of showing our love for one another in the family of God. Another example we might mention is from the book of Acts. In the early church, as you read about them in chapter 2 and chapter 4 and other places, here in chapter 2, beginning in verse 45, we read these words. All those who had believed were together. They had all things in common. They began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. They're just like a family here. What I have is yours and yours is mine, and we're sharing together and we're part of the same family. Paul, in the book of Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 10, talked about the idea of doing good to all people as we have opportunity. And then he says, especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Household of the faith. When you see the word household in this passage and also in Paul's letter to Timothy, you need to think of family. That if as we have opportunity to do good, we ought to do it to everybody, but especially to those who are part of our family in Christ. It only makes sense that we'd be more than interested in helping those as well. So these are some ways that we show our compassion to those around us in the body of Christ. There's a sense in which, while we can show love to all people, brotherly kindness is in that realm that we would describe as family, our spiritual family, the church. Others can see how we treat each other, and that's important. Our preference to be committed to each other, to be genuinely concerned about one another, to spend time with one another, to be a part of God's family, that's brotherly kindness. On the other hand, when it's not present, it's also easy to recognize. Words like disconnectedness, isolation, disinterest, unconcern, unwillingness to help another in the body, the ways we talk and the things we do that impact other people, all of these can be the opposite of brotherly kindness, just as all of these can exhibit the presence of brotherly kindness. So we think about these thoughts, I have just some things to consider on this one little word in the Greek, Philadelphia, brotherly kindness. And then as we draw the lesson to a close, ask the question, what makes Christianity different? What causes, what brings about the unexpected power of the Christian faith to change people's hearts and to change people's lives? In part, not in whole, but in part, it's the practice of brotherly kindness. Treat one another like family. This is what the early church, this is what people said about the early church. Behold how they love one another. I'll close with one verse in Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Shall we pray? Father, we know that as we come before you, that you are a God of love and compassion and kindness. And we pray that the message of your word and your truth may impact our hearts and our lives today, and that we may draw closer to you and closer into conformity with your will for our lives. Help us to be kind to each other, to be loving, to think about the needs of others before our own needs. Father, we pray that as we seek to follow you, that you will draw us closer to you through your word, and that we may follow your truth always. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to respond today to our invitation, ask for the prayers of the church, or if we can help you make your life right with God by putting the Lord on in baptism, we'll be singing this song and invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.